and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Keeping the theme, I've called my message, Do You See What I See? Which is a great carol. Who loves that carol? Whitney did a very good version of that carol. It's awesome. Do you see what I see? And it's actually a really profound song and a really profound question, I think, because what it's asking and what it's sort of depicting is that someone saying, do you see what I see? Meaning that I'm seeing something, but someone else could be seeing something completely different. And what we see is so important. How we perceive things, how we perceive Jesus, how we perceive ourselves, and how we perceive our world and our life is so important. And so I've called this message, Do You See What I See? And what's so fascinating, I think, about the story of Christmas and why this song is so profound is that basically everyone missed it. Everyone basically missed it. They didn't see what was right before them. This was not just like, where'd this guy come from? This was like the promised savior, this guy that had been prophesied about for hundreds and thousands of years that he would come. And when he came, everyone missed it. And when he was walking in their midst, everyone missed it. They didn't see it. They didn't perceive what was happening. King Herod saw this usurper of the throne, but three wise men and some shepherds saw a savior. You know, this innkeeper saw an inconvenience, but other people saw this opportunity to worship the King of Kings. You know, what we see is so very important. Imagine for a moment, there's that place. Does everyone have a place where you're like, man, this is like a destination, a holiday destination I really want to go to? Maybe there's a favorite place. Yeah. Maybe it's like the beaches, walking along the beaches at the Sunshine Coast, or maybe get exotic. Maybe you want to walk the foreshore of Santa Monica in LA, or the neon streets of Tokyo, or the concrete jungles of New York, whatever it is. Imagine you're there. Imagine that you're there right now, walking that place you've always wanted to be, but you're doing it with your eyes closed. Now you might as well be walking through Westfield Chermside. There's no difference because your eyes are closed. We can be face to face or surrounded by absolute wonder and awe and beauty and amazing things. But if our eyes are closed, if we can't see, we miss it completely. And that's what this incredible part of the story of Christmas is a lot of people missed it. And my question for us tonight is, you know, Christmas is about many things, and people make it about many things, but we can very easily miss what it's all about. And in life, if we're not, our eyes aren't on Jesus, we can miss who he really is, who we are, and what we have in him. So I want to talk about that tonight. And Paul has this great prayer in Ephesians 1 verse 18, and he's basically praying that the eyes of our hearts would be opened. So we have physical eyes and we see things with them. But what the Bible actually teaches us, and I think it's not just only for Christians or people that follow Jesus, but everyone, every human also has these eyes in their heart. It gives us the ability to kind of look at something with our eyes, but feel and sense something completely different on the inside. We have these eyes of our heart, and Paul's praying, and these eyes are the most important. He's saying these are the very center and core of your being. And so he prays this incredible prayer, and he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. And then he says three things that he wants their eyes to be open to. Number one is that you would know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you. Secondly, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, meaning God's people. And thirdly, that you would begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited, surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I love this. I want to unpack these three things tonight, that our eyes tonight would be open, just as this church in Ephesus, you know, whatever the circumstance or however you find, whatever circumstance you find yourself in tonight, however you've come, there's three incredible principles you've got to know, and the Word of God would say, and that there is hope for you, that you are treasured and valued, and that his power is in you. those three things. If we could, our eyes, that's my prayer tonight. And what I think God wants to do tonight is open our eyes that we are loved and treasured by Him, that there is hope for you and that His power is in you, which is incredible. You ready? We're going to unpack this. We're going to unpack this verse in Ephesians. So the first one, he's saying, I want your eyes to be open, eyes of your heart to be open, that you would know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which He has called you. Now, I don't need to talk too long here, I guess, about how vital hope is, right? Because we can all attest in our life how vital hope is and the devastating effects of feeling hopeless. And we've all probably been there, and maybe we find ourselves in a place right now where we're feeling quite hopeless. You know, there's so many things. Like, I remember I've told this story once before when I was a kid, quite young, like not 14, like really quite young. It's not too embarrassing. I had this great knack for just getting locked in rooms. Oh, there's a fly. He's attacking me. I had this great knack for getting locked in rooms. If there was a lock on the door, 9 times out of 10, I could get myself locked in that room for some reason. I remember we were at our family. It became a pattern, but one of the first times it happened, we were at some family, their house, and everyone else was down the other end of the house, and the bathroom was all the way down the other end. I'd gone there, gone into the bathroom, and locked the door. When I went to get out of the bathroom, lo and behold, I was locked in this bathroom. And being this young kid I was, I tried a few things. You just keep trying the same thing over and over again, and it's not working. And in seconds, I was just filled with such dread and hopelessness. And I'll admit, I began to cry and began to scream out. You know, it's pretty devastating. That might be quite funny when you look back at that kind of thing, but it doesn't take much, right? In life, there's so many circumstances, so many things, so many problems, so many obstacles we can face that in a moment we can find ourselves faced with hopelessness and feeling like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get out? There is no way. This is how it's going to be forever. It's so easy to find ourselves in that spot. It might be a doctor's report. It might be a bill we can't pay. It might be a relationship or finances or work or kids or whatever you might find that yourself in, that there are so many things that we can find ourselves feeling hopeless. But what this verse is saying, and what Paul is trying to say here, is I want your eyes to be open to the fact that your hope is set. That your hope cannot be shaken. It cannot waver. Your hopes cannot be dashed. It's actually impossible for your hope as a believer, as a Christian, to have your hopes dashed, because your hope is set. This is what it says in Hebrews 6:18. It says that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor for the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner for us. Our hope is set. However great the heartache, however deep the hole you feel in, how desperate the situation, your hope is set in Christ. It's incredible. It's a hope that will see you through every day of your life and will see you all the way into eternity. I love the way Charles Spurgeon puts it. I'm going to read one of his quotes. I just couldn't find a way of putting it better than him. So it says this: what then is the Christian's hope? He expects a stormy voyage, but because Christ is at the helm, he hopes to come to the fair haven at last. He expects to be tempted, but he hopes to be upheld. He expects to be slandered, but he hopes to be cleared. He expects to be tried, but he hopes to triumph. Sustained by this hope, he dreads no labors and fears no difficulties. His hope is that all through life, whether that be long or short, underneath him will be everlasting arms. He hopes that the Lord will be his shepherd, and he shall not want. He hopes that goodness and mercy will follow him all the days of his life. Hence, he is not afraid to die, for then he expects to come into actual possession of his best possessions. He believes that when it is time for him to depart, Jesus will come and meet him. And the thought of that meeting puts aside all idea of the grim terrors of the grave. His hope leaps over the grave and lands him in a glorious resurrection. Does not the hope of our calling open grandly? This is the hope set before you and I. It's a hope that will see us through every day of our life and all the way into eternity. Isaiah 49:23. says, then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Those who hope in God will not be disappointed. Lots of the times when we feel like our hopes get dashed, we find ourselves in a hopeless situation, it's because we've put our hope in the wrong thing. Our hope is in Christ and in Christ alone. And now as our hope is in him, we will not be disappointed. This is incredible. You can walk every day. It's not a whimsical hope. It's not, I hope it happens, but it probably won't. I hope the weather's not too hot tomorrow, but you know, it's summer. It's not that kind of hope. It's a confident expectation in God and in his faithfulness to perform his word and his promises to you and I. That is our hope. It's in God. So that's the first one. And that's the thing. Our hope is set. Remember that. Our hope is set. The second thing that Paul prays to this church and what we can grab out of this verse is he prays that the eyes of our heart would be open to the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now, this is like the point I'm really excited about, because we can read this verse and kind of take one thing out of it, but it's true to a degree, but what Paul's actually trying to say in this verse is actually something even more magnificent than what you might first perceive when you read it. Because you read this and you kind of go, okay, riches, inheritance, saints. Cool. So I've got this rich inheritance because I'm now a child of God. Which is true, because we are co-heirs with Christ and we are supremely rich in Christ. We have obtained the greatest prize and treasure of all, and that's Jesus. But what he's actually saying is way deeper and actually so much more profound for you and I. See, he's not saying, I want your eyes, C3 Bridgman Downs, to be open to your inheritance in God. I want your eyes to be open to the fact that you are God's inheritance. That is a deep thought. You are God's inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:9 says, but the Lord's portion is his people. Wow. We have a great inheritance in Christ, made children of God. But we, you and I, are God's inheritance. You are treasured and valued by God. That is an incredible thought. Paul is praying that our eyes will be open to the fact that you and I are simply loved and treasured by God, the God who created the universe, the whole expanse of the cosmos and all the stars and everything that has life. He created that, but you are what he treasures in this life. There's one thing I think better than having all the treasures of this world, and that is being the object that is treasured. There is one thing better, surpassing all the riches we could get out of this world, all the treasures we can find in this world, and that is being the object that is treasured. All through the Bible we find this. Jesus told many parables around this. We read the parable of the lost coin. A lady loses a coin and turns her house upside down, leaves no stone unturned, trying to find this coin that was so precious to her. That's you. There's this parable of this shepherd who has hundreds of sheep. One goes off and astray, and he leaves 99 of them to go after one sheep. That's you. There's this story of this farmer who's walking through this field and finds this treasure in the midst of it. And because of the such value he had in it, he bought the whole field. That's you. You and I are treasured, valued, and loved by God. That's why the Bible says that God, I think it, why it says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. It's an incredible verse. He took time creating you. Now think of the word knit and knitting. Like, has anyone knitted here before? I did it probably for 2 terms in home ec. I made a pillow and it looked bad and it was not good. I'm not very good because I don't have the patience for it. I'm like, oh, I'll just buy a pillow. I don't need to knit this pillow. But if you've knitted before, it's an art. Knitting is an art. It takes time, patience, and care to knit this. You don't want to get one loop out. You don't want to get one stitch out. You don't want to make anything wrong in just the finest detail, because it'll put everything else out. That is the amount of thought that God put into making you, that he knit you together. That's how much he treasures you. That's how much he loves you, because he knit you together. It's why he says that the Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He knows all the days of your life. In fact, he wrote them out before you even breathed a breath or you took a step, because he loves you. And so why is it so important? Why, like in this letter, Paul is writing to this church, why is it so important that we know that we are loved, valued, and treasured by God? I think simply put, it's because that will change the way we walk and talk through this life. It changes everything about our life, knowing that you are loved, treasured, and valued by God. It'll change the way that you come to God. It'll change the way that you pray to God. It'll change the way that you make a decision. It'll change the way you walk through your day. It'll change the way that you walk through a hard time, knowing that you are valued, treasured above all to God, that you are God's inheritance. It says in 1 John 4:18 that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. We don't need to live in fear, worry, and all in bondage to our fear and things that would come against us, or fear of the future, or fear of what we're going to do with our life. No, because His perfect love casts out all fear. If you've encountered the love of God, it will cast out all fear. Romans 8:31, just reading bits of it. It says, if God is for us, if God loves us, if God treasures and values us, if we're a child of God, who can be against us? He who did not even spare His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, how will He not also give us graciously all things? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's because of His love. The reason we can walk through this life, the reason that we can have hope, the reason that we can get through any difficult situation is because you are, first, your hope is set, and secondly, because your value has been set. If you weren't valuable to God, if you weren't treasured and loved by God, He wouldn't have paid such a high price for you. He wouldn't have paid such a high price for you to come into relationship with Him. 1 Peter 1:18 says, you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. Your hope is set and your value is set. Don't let any man, woman, any other person, any relationship, any Instagram page, any other voice in this world set your value that's already been set by God. Your relationship with Him and your value has been set and has been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. And it is done. Your value has been set and you are treasured. You are valued. You are loved by God. It's an incredible thought. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's not far from you, but He's near. He's not aloof, but He's interested. And He will never leave you nor forsake you. And the third, I did too, the third thing that Paul prays. So he says, your hope is set. Your value is set. I want you to see the hope to which He's called you. I want you to see that you are valued and loved and treasured by God. And thirdly, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened, that you would begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength, with which He produced in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now that's a bit of a mouthful, but all in all to say, the very same power that God wielded, God used to raise Christ from the dead. Christ went to the cross, He died, He was buried in a tomb, dead for 3 days. The very same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead, raise Him and lift Him up into heaven and seat Him at His own right hand is in you. That is an incredible thought. The very same power, not a knockoff, not kind of, or not just a portion of, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. This is the third thing Paul is praying that we would see. And I think it's because it's so often in life we can come into circumstances where we feel powerless, where we feel like we're up against a wall, where we feel that there's an obstacle or a decision we have to make. And though that might be the facts, the truth is that there is power in you. The very same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you to overcome that situation, to walk through that valley, to come through whatever you might be facing. And the point is in Jesus, we can't lose. You just got to tell yourself, I can't lose. Because, and that's not just some like great faith statement. You actually can't lose in Christ. It says in 1 John 5:4, for everyone, say everyone, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. The world. Not just, you know, there might be an addiction that you're facing. There might be a problem you're facing, a mountain you're facing. If you've overcome the world, I tell you, you can overcome that thing as well. You can't lose. You will come through it. You will overcome it in Jesus. And it's a fight of faith. We live this life in faith, not just going by what we see, but we live this life in faith. And that's what the Bible says. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. In Jesus, you can't lose. I found this amazing Bible verse that I'm like, man, I just need to put this on my phone, put it up everywhere. Please write it down, because there'll be a moment in time that I hope it helps you. And it's in Psalms 18:29. And it says, "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." Wow, that's awesome. By you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. No matter what you're facing, as I was saying before, the power that is in you, the power that he's given you is giving you the ability to run against a troop, a whole army, whatever the obstacle is, whatever, maybe it might be one thing, maybe it might be five things, maybe it feels like the whole world is against you at the moment. His power gives you the ability to run against a troop, and then by God, I can leap over a wall. We talk so much about, you know, praying and the walls coming down, but maybe God just wants you to leap over that thing, because he's given you the power. He's given you the victory in Christ and the power to leap over a wall. So your hope is set. Your hope is set. Your value has been set, and God has set his power in you. Your hope is set. Your value is set, and he has set his power in you. So why is it so important that we understand? Why, again, is Paul saying, guys, you need to see that his power is in you? Why? Well, again, you might be facing something right now, and we will always, even Jesus said, we're gonna come against tribulations and trials and tough times, and that's going to happen. And maybe there might be a fleeting moment of, and it's perfectly natural to go, I don't know how I'm getting through this thing. This is impossible. There might be that moment, but don't let that moment become a mind frame, and don't let that moment just become a lifestyle or a cycle that you go through in your mind, because the truth is that you're not powerless and you're not defeated. As we read before, you are powerful. His power has been set in you, and he has given you the victory. You're not powerless. You're not defeated. So there should never be a moment in our life where we are walking around defeated, slumped over, and just overcome by everything that we're facing. You can stand up. You're not just standing up because I told you the word of God says you can stand up. You can stand victorious. It says in Ephesians 6:10, be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Be infused down to your very bone and marrow with the power of God, and stand victorious with the force of his power flowing in and through you. And my question tonight to us is if you were to look at your life right now, what would your posture be? What would be the posture of your life? How do you feel you're postured in life right now? Are you maybe overcome at the moment by a lot of things that you're facing, and you're not really seeing a future, and maybe you're back again, this guy, the fly. Are you being rocked by those things? Are you hunched over? Are you head down? Are you feeling defeated and deflated, or are you standing victorious? Is your head up high and your chest popped out? Right? You know, it doesn't make much sense for, like, you know, if you watch your winning team win, like the grand final, like the Maroons winning, like again and again and again. Like, when those guys win, they don't walk around the field, you know, walking around deflated, head down, like hunched over and just being deflated. No, their head's up. They're proud. They've won. So too, it makes no sense for you and I as believers having been imputed the victory of Christ into our life, having been infused with the power of God in our life, to walk around life for a moment deflated, for a moment being overcome by something we're facing. No way, because your hope is set, your value is set, and God has set His power inside of you. So what would your posture be? Are you standing and you walking through life as if your hope is being set, that it is a sure and a steadfast anchor for your soul? Are you walking through life like you are valued and treasured by God, like you're a child of God, like there's nothing you can't ask of your God and He would give it to you? Are you walking through life like with those two things? Are you walking through life like you've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead inside of you? Let's stand to our feet tonight. This is a really important question, I think, that we ask ourselves tonight. And where am I at? Because where you're at right now is not where you have to stay. The situation you're in right now is not where you have to stay, because your hope is set, your value's been set, and His power is set in you.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.